In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the gospel to the poor and afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the eyes of the blind. This is the passage from Isaiah that Jesus quotes along with a few others when John sends his disciples. And they are prophecies of his messianic work. That's his answer when John sends those disciples. To answer to the question, are you the coming one or not? Yes, the Lord has anointed me. I am the Christ. But Jesus leaves out one of those phrases. The one that John, languishing in prison, probably most hoped to hear. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Because John will not escape his prison cell with his head intact. Instead, he must settle for what the Lord gives him. A sermon. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, what good does that do? That's not what the poor need. The poor need money. The poor need health care. They need a job, a sandwich maybe. But all they get is a sermon. John sits in prison wanting to be a liberated captive. Instead, he's just that, poor. Everything has been taken away from John except his own head. But it was the Lord himself who anointed Jesus. He did it, by the way, through John's own hand and the Jordan River's water, when the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. So it was God himself, the Father, and the Holy Spirit who made Jesus the Christ, in order to preach the gospel to the poor. This is the liberation that Jesus the Christ brings. A deliverance from sin, from death, from the devil. The comfort that he gives is speaking tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem, telling her that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from his hand double for all her sins. Because the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. It is a kingdom that suffers violence. John is the forerunner for Jesus in everything, not just in preaching, but that includes a martyr's death. And so, when John sends word and disciples from prison, Jesus strengthens him for his task and reassures John, "Blessed are those who are not offended by me." Jesus Christ is offensive. He is offensive to the thoughts and the hopes of mankind. He defeats death, but he still lets its empty form terrorize us, as we know every time we have to go out again to the cemetery. He takes up our flesh to redeem it and to forgive our sin. But we still carry around this weak, frail, and sinful flesh as long as we are in this life. The Lord's glory is hidden in Jesus Christ every bit as much as it is revealed in him. Because this one who is God here on earth for us, he has no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. It is the centurion at the cross, not Friedrich Nietzsche, who first was the one to confess, "God is dead. we killed him. And that horrifying statement was absolutely right in that centurion's mouth. But who is it? Who is there in this world who respects a God whose greatest feat is to hang dead and lifeless on a cross? So it is with us too. Christ's church is not always and has not very often been a glorious or respected group and institution in this world. The church does not sweep across continents and demand respect. Fittingly, if you look at the history, the church has lost her crusades. The ranks are filled with the blind, the lame, the sick, poor people. Christ's followers and his forerunners face martyrdom, and they are sinners to a single man. God conforms us in all of these things to the image of his Son. And this does not mean, first of all, that we are glorious and heavenly and godly in this world. Rather, it means we are looking like Jesus, beat down, bloody, bruised, stripped of honor. Finally, we die. So do you consider yourself a follower of Christ? Do you desire to be like him? Then, dear saints, be prepared to receive not just the sign of the Holy Cross, but a true cross of suffering also. Setting captives free, that line from Isaiah, that is the tagline of all of the victorious living Christian groups. But what sort of captivity do they apply that passage to? Would they have anything to offer John the Baptist in prison? Is it any surprise then that so many Christians are offended whenever they see pictures of Christ crucified, especially in a church, or when they hear a sermon about it? It is very hard to turn this, the cross, into a metaphor or into an object lesson that is suitable for a motivational speech. So Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended at me. Blessed is the one, rather, who trusts in me. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Blessed is the one who clings to the God who is in the manger and who is on the cross, and to the offensive message that these events preach. Because there is no other coming one. There is no God but the baby whose freshly soiled wrappings are placed into a food trough. There is no God except the one who has made the greatest sinner of all and utterly forsaken by his Father, cursed and hanging lifeless on a tree. And in him alone the world is blessed. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Grant us thy peace. That's the sermon. That's John's old sermon, even. That is the good news. That is the gospel that the Lord has preached to the poor. is not something that the world wants. It's not attractive. It's not lovely. It's not majestic, and certainly not nostalgic for them. It is offensive. It is a scandal to have a dead God. And it is an impossible word, an impossible sermon, many would say. But that is always the way that the Holy Spirit works when Jesus Christ is preached. He works the impossible. He says to deaf people, "Hear." He asks, "What do you see?" to blind men. And he says to dead bodies, "Get up." All of which is to say that the Lord works a true miracle each and every time someone believes, trusts in him. He preaches sermons to people who really don't want to hear it. And then that's it. And then they're forgiven, and it's too late. He's promised something to them, and it can't be undone. He was in the world, and the world would not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, and children born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but born of God, just as he was born. He really does set captives free. He sets those free who are in bondage to their own wills and to their own sin. The poor get preached to. They don't get a $20 bill or a hamburger, but they get a sermon. They get comfort, my people. Your warfare will not last. Your iniquity is pardoned. You have received from the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Who knew that words could do so much? Thus, John the Baptist is strengthened and he is prepared. He's no reed shaken in the wind. He's no softy. But he is ready to lose even his head for the sake of the gospel. And John's disciples, in turn, are ready to bury their former rabbi and to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. St. Peter goes on to strengthen his brethren in Rome. St. Andrew goes on to put the X back in Xmas. And we too, dear saints, we are comforted in the midst of whatever lies ahead for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced it first. He is the true forerunner. And so, if he bids you to take up a cross of any kind, it is only so that you may follow him. Follow him through suffering and death and out the other side into his kingdom of eternal life. Through his blood. Go and tell what you hear and you see. Bread is given, wine is poured, water is sprinkled. Repentance for the forgiveness of your sins is preached. Christ visits and redeems his people. And they are comforted by this gospel even in the midst of their poverty or their sickness or their weakness, even their dying breath. Go and tell what you hear and see. Do not be afraid if anyone might happen to believe it, or laugh at you, or cut off your head. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Because there is no God but Jesus. And John is his prophet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.